Hello, this is Johnny Beaner. I am a hilarious comedian, and you are listening to Christopher Olsen's podcast, You Don't Say, coming to you live from the basement in Silence of the Lambs. It truly is the Breakfast of Champions.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the You Don't Say podcast. I am your host, as always, Christopher Olsen, and again, thank you for the tweets, the retweets, the shares, the likes, the spreading of the good word, if you will. I appreciate it, and many thanks again. Another episode for you, fresh off the press, if you will. Had a chance to wonderful time to sit down with a comedian, Emily Galati. Emily was in my hometown, I guess you could say, working at my home club, the Skyline Comedy Cafe. And I just happened to be in town, taking care of some stuff around the old homestead, as they say, and got to catch Emily and a show Thursday night, and she was kind enough to stop by, and we chat about comedy, her experience on Last Comic Standing, a number of individuals that she enjoys working with. And we name drop a lot. We had a lot of fun, and it was a great conversation. Emily gives a little insight as to sort of how she goes about writing, performing, and also dealing with like certain topics that sometimes are a little edgy, and kind of touching on sort of balancing the different audiences and the different ears that you come into. With your material. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And again, just a wonderful time. So catch Emily whenever you can. She can be found on Facebook, Twitter, and she gives you that information in this episode. So many thanks to Emily. Many thanks to the Skyline Comedy Cafe again, and many thanks to all the listens. Please keep it up. I appreciate it. And here's my conversation. Hope you enjoy as much as I did my chat with Miss Emily Galati. Enjoy.
Yet? No?
Yeah.
Oh, we are? Okay.
I mean, for the most part.
But oh, man. Okay, then good. Yeah, I'm glad I just didn't blurt out a story.
Maybe you can. I can mention anything you want. Well, no, he had mentioned that that process was very different, but it was... I don't know. I can't remember the words he said, but it was tiring, but it was exhilarating at the same time. To where mm-hmm. you're like cloud nine-ish, but you're just drained.
Yes.
And then once the final product rolled out, as he's recently now said, it was you're kind of bummed. Just didn't kind of go your way.
Yeah.
Because you remember feeling so good.
Yeah. He crushed it. I was backstage with his semifinal set. He crushed it. I was shocked he didn't pass.
Yeah, and it comes down to Roseanne. She didn't get the joke. Or didn't like it, whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter, but yeah.
No, we had a great time. We would go... Oh, man, see, this is what I don't want to say on air.
Which is okay.
Yeah. We just hung out a lot. We'll just put it that way. I mean, it was nothing... Like, your contract says, like, you can be filmed, like, at any time. And
right.
So, like, to hang out, like, even in the hotel lobby, we're like, well, what if they're filming? And so we would just go hang out at a different hotel bar.
That's nice.
And he doesn't drink, but so I would get drunk and we would just talk.
I've told him, as you're one of the best listeners. And
oh,
he'll just sit there and like, yeah, well, you know, that happened to me, and you give his background or whatever, and then, damn. And I've Matt Holton. I said, yeah, he's the world's greatest drinking buddy because he'll give you a ride home because he doesn't drink, and then he's just gonna sit there and listen.
Yeah,
I shouldn't just say sit there because he's a great conversationist. It's just fun to chat with.
Great person, hilarious comic.
Yeah.
He's always someone where like people when people want to do like real dirty comedy or like they're really like filthy, I'm like, you need to listen to Dave Landau,
who
talks about dirty subjects, but his jokes, like the punchline isn't something gross. It's like it's such well written kind of, I don't want to say dirty even, but it's I love his comedy.
Yeah, it's like the I think you hit it well. The topic is it's kind of like we were talking just before I hit record, essentially, is like, well, is this going to go over with this? Are they a little too conservative? Mm-hmm. It's the same concept, I think. Is, well, it's a little dirty. The topic is, you're not dropping F-bombs and C-bombs. Mm-hmm. You're dancing around it. And that's like the cool art portion of it. Of like, no, tricked you. You're getting it. And I didn't say those words.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's how I look at it, I guess, anyway. So I don't know.
Yeah. I told you, like, Thursday, I only did that one line for my Planned Parenthood joke. And I say it's a Planned Parenthood joke because I say Planned Parenthood up top and then I discuss abortion. But I've tried very hard. Like, even like I try to like work on that joke with other people, they'll pitch punchlines or stuff about abortion where I'm like, nope, I'm not demeaning the subject matter. Like,
right.
I'm trying to talk about it in a funny way, but with the seriousness of like, this is how I feel about this, and I don't like the way women are treated, essentially, is the way you try to talk about it. I don't know. I think you have to be kind of, I mean, whatever, if you're talking about poop, I guess you need to be respectful of poop, but like, when like, Planned
Trust
Parenthood,
me, I love a good poop, but you know.
It's tugging. There's a difference between an abortion joke and a joke about abortion, and that's where I view that, and that's, I don't think everyone, like, when, like, I want to do dirty material, or I have to be, like, filthy, I gotta say whatever I want, I'm like, you need to, like, go just, like, find some Dave Landau stuff, because there's a difference between a poop joke and a joke about poop.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
And Dave is way above poop jokes. Like, I just feel like I'm, I feel like I'm now, ironically, shitting on him. But that's not the way. So much love for Dave.
That's good. So you, last comic yourself. Now, were you two times?
I was on, one season to the semifinals.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Which was that the season previous to the last?
2014,
correct? Okay. Yeah. Yes.
The one with Dave.
Right. Which was cool. Mm-hmm. It was very good. And did you enjoy the process of that?
Up until the semifinals, yeah. Because it was just like I kind of had a set. I didn't expect anything. Like, I was like, no one knows who I am.
I didn't
think I would move on at all. And then just my, I think I had a unique experience, but I didn't get a set approved. Like, I was in LA for a week. I didn't have a set approved until we were at, like, the, it's not a dress rehearsal, but, like, you go through a walkthrough.
Like a run-through,
The night before. So, like, everyone got to go out and practice their set, and I didn't have one approved, so I was just kind of like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Then I didn't have wardrobe. Like, they didn't have, I didn't have wardrobe, so, like, when we got to the theater, I was still running around trying to get what they were supposed to give me to wear. And so it was just a very hectic night, and it was a very, I mean, the semifinals was a very long day. I went 26th out of 27th, and I was telling political jokes to a crowd who had been there all day, and they did not care.
Right.
And it was, I mean, not anyone's fault, just, I guess, shitty circumstances, but especially for the first time I was doing TV, it was just so much stress. Like, you don't really know how to handle things. I'm like, I'm just terrified I'm going to eat shit. And then I ate shit. But whatever. I think, like, having that experience, if you did it again, like, you'd view things totally differently. It's just a combination of all new and then a bunch of added stress onto that was just...
Yeah. Plus... adding in the fact that, you, as you just said, so it's television. You're you're sort of out of your own, just say, personal element. It's not like you're at home.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're setting up shop for X amount of time, and you don't know how long this, you know, this train's going to run. You don't know. So that has to add, you know, some mental stress would be, my guess, just along with then trying to prepare. Like you said, then you don't have a set really, say, ironed out in a sense. Wardrobe, that had to be a pain, quite frankly, because it's like, well, and it's fucking TV. I mean, you want to look decent, and add that on to it, I guess my point is that had to be shitty. But
they had you're supposed to bring like three outfits, and like they tell you yes or no, and they okayed like for the first round, they okayed my outfit. Like, this is what I want to wear. Cool, we're good. And the second time, I brought in three outfits, and they're like, no.
What the fuck?
It's like, it's so, like, this is what I wear on stage. And you're like, well, it's not good enough. And you're like, oh, but this is, this is also just what I wear in life. Like, I don't know. these are my clothes.
these are my things.
Yeah. And they kept saying, we're going to shop for you. So I would go in like every day. I'm like, did you guys like shop? Like I have to try on something and get a wardrobe approved. And I was literally in hair and makeup when someone came and got me and like, you have to go try on wardrobe now. They gave me a dress and I was like, I don't wear dresses on stage. I wear dresses in real life, but on stage, no. And, even like when I put it on, it was like the cleavage it gave me. And I was like, no, I can't tell political jokes in a dress like this. Like, it's not going to go well.
Yeah.
And like, we'll move the button over and we'll make it so you can like close it. And it, that didn't happen at all. And then like, I had to get like a shirt to put underneath it. So it was just, it was even on top of already being nervous to do TV for a set you haven't practiced. I then was wearing clothes that made me uncomfortable. And I mean, yeah, it's just, it was kind of like the perfect storm of like, you're not going to do well.
Yeah. God.
Yeah.
Well, that stinks.
Well, I mean,
great experience. It's just, it had to be somewhat trying to then plow through all that.
Trying, yeah, is what I would say. And like stressful and like where you're, you're excited and grateful to be there, and like it's all kind of like, yay, this is happening! I can't believe it! Like I'm so lucky, but also like, oh my god!
Yeah,
I'm like mentally, there's this part of me that is also just going insane.
Because there is that whirlwind aspect of it. I mean, I'm just talking from other people I've talked to, talking about other people, because shit, I haven't been to that level. But Brian Miller, who you're tight with, he and I were talking about. He being on Ferguson, and he said it was just this whirlwind of just, it's happening, and that's just how it went. So I remember him saying to me, it was more after the fact for him, like, holy shit, I did it.
Yeah.
And Johnny Beaner was the same scenario when he did Letterman. It was more so after that, this went really fast, you know?
Yeah.
It was just such a very tightly compressed group of time that you had to get through all of these obstacles, like you said, it's the wardrobe. So after the fact, there was more, I think it was Johnny that said, there was more appreciation after the fact of, damn, that was really cool. But in the moment, you're so stressed out that you don't have time to sort of just sit back and go, this is pretty cool.
I think that's exactly it. And I think the further away from it, the more I appreciate Last Comic, like my time there. But for a while, I was just really just like, about it. And like, looking back, just, I don't know. I'm being okay and just being more, more experienced.
That's good, though. That's good. Now, you're from, you live in Chicago currently, but you're not from there originally, correct?
No, I grew up in Phoenix.
Yeah, okay, that's what I recall. Okay.
Yeah, I've been in Chicago almost 8 years now.
Eight years?
A while.
Wow, okay.
A long time.
Did you just handpick Chicago as like to go there, or?
I wanted to do improv. I was big into improv comedy. Did improv back in Phoenix.
Sure, okay.
And I couldn't justify, like, I finished college. I couldn't justify moving to Chicago to do improv because I was like, you don't get paid.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
So I applied to grad school. I went to grad school in Chicago.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And I took classes at like Iowa and Second City, and I was like, I'll just get a degree and then get really good at improv and then go someplace else and get a job with my degree. And 2 years into that experience, I hated both. And now I'm doing stand-up here.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, though. That's kind of neat. Huh. I'm amped. Do you get back to Phoenix often?
About once a year.
Really?
Go home Thanksgiving or Christmas.
I was going to say, you have family there then
still?
Okay.
My parents are still there.
That's cool. That's, like that Thanksgiving, Christmas. That's a nice warm-up, quite frankly, to get the hell out of Dodge.
It was, unfortunately, it was, like, so warm in Chicago this year when I left for, like, second week of December. I went to Phoenix, and I booked 2 weeks because I was headlining a club out in Scottsdale.
Oh, cool.
And then I was like, oh, I'll take Christmas off and spend it with my family, so I get 2 weeks out here, and it'll be warm, but winter has been so mild that, like, when I left Chicago, I was like, come on! Like, just freeze! So I, like,
get cold already.
Yeah. So I can at least brag about going to Phoenix. And everyone's like, I'm in shorts. It's December in Chicago. And I was like, ugh.
No, I've got, I have friends in Boston, and just now Thursday, Friday, and today. This is their first chunk of snow now, you know, early February. And they're getting, it's like 6-8 inches. And, you know, the ocean plays a part of it and high and low pressure systems to where, like, driving is horrendous. But last year, they got pounded twice with, like, 24 inches of snow 2 or 3 times. So I've said to these guys, well, last year you kind of had the winter from hell. Mm-hmm. This year, you're due to just not have any snow. But yeah, they've had, like, you know, just brown ground. I mean, just, you know, just bare ground, quite frankly. And yeah, there's a guy, I know, he's been running outside still, like, every evening. And good for them. But at the same point, they had said, a number of folks said, hey, Christmas was a little weird. You know, and you know, New Year's Eve, a little weird. There isn't any snow. You know, it was just sort of strange. But I don't miss the snow when it's not there, quite frankly.
You guys have a lot right now on the ground.
Yeah, we got, it was supposed to be Snowmageddon, of course, you know, back, whatever, Tuesday.
Yeah.
And it's going to be 12, 13 inches. We got like 5.
Oh, I feel like there's still a lot.
Yeah, there was a bunch prior, and it's now I'm done with it. You know, it's January, and I've got the kids, and it's like,
all right,
yeah, you got a snow day from school, you got off of that, it's beautiful. Now let's bring on the spring, let's have it be 40 and just, yeah, I'd rather be outside. Winter is not my time of year, quite frankly, but you deal with it, it's okay.
That's horrible seasonal depression I still get, and people are like, well, you've been in Chicago like 8 years. I'm like, you don't adjust.
Yeah,
I
correct
spent, you know, 24 years growing up in Arizona with zero winter. I saw the sun every day. I could go swimming in March.
Right. Yeah.
And there's no adjustment to. You had to put on 9 layers of clothes. it might change. The weather's going to change maybe in the middle of the day. It's
right.
Just in Phoenix, you wake up, you know it's going to be sunny.
Yeah.
And if it's past October, maybe you put on pants and you bring a sweatshirt. That's it. Like, there's no...
You're prepped.
Yeah.
You that's don't need the...
every day.
3 pairs of gloves because one may be too wet, you know, for the, the evening or the afternoon or what have you. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It is something that it's... I've found, I think, the older I've gotten, it's harder to get over. Like, as a kid, I think, and being younger, you probably enjoyed being outside a little bit more, and now I couldn't give a shit. You know, I mean, I'm not making snowmen and I'm not making forts, you know,
yeah.
I'm just not, I'm shoveling my damn driveway and I'm sick of it,
yeah.
I think is what it comes
that
down
makes
to.
Sense.
I don't know. I'm kind of theorizing, but I don't know.
That makes sense. I think I had a shovel 1 year because my roommate got like $50 off rent if he just shoveled.
Oh, that's
but
cool.
He was out of town and I shoveled one just once because I've lived in places that someone will shovel for you, but I literally had so much fun because I made so many of them, the mountain from Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and I thought it was so hilarious, and people
sure.
are like, what? And I'm like, I don't shovel snow ever. This is really, like, to me, this is...
Just, this is good for me.
Yeah.
Look what I've made.
Look at this. Is not funny to you? And people are just shoveling like, and I'm like,
angry because you're having fun with it is probably the
but
angle.
But I understand if I had to do that every day,
yeah.
I would hate it.
No, and thankfully, you know, it's not every day. Thank goodness you don't mm-hmm. remove snow every day. But there does come a point where, all right, it's been once a week for 6 weeks, enough of this shit.
Yeah.
I'm just tired of it.
I do hate just even brushing snow off my car.
Yeah.
Like, I just, you know, so.
Yeah. I guess I don't like... not to like keep bitching about weather because it's out of our control, but it's like, I guess I.
What a fun podcast.
What a fun.
This
is weather.
Talk about the weather?
Yeah, Christopher and Emily, we're talking weather.
Mm-hmm.
Traffic and weather together.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah, traffic next. Whew, hitting all the hard topics.
That's right. Well, actually, let's loop in. You have done a lot of political material.
Some.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
But I guess my. I don't know if it's a question or a point to you. You are quite passionate about it.
Yes.
Which is badass. I think it's cool that you carry it and say, no, this is fucking my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, has it always been like that for you? Or was there a switch that maybe flipped and you've said, I've had enough of this, or I'm standing by fucking ground this time?
I think I've always been opinionated.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think I haven't been... I don't think I've been afraid to, like, express my opinion, but I think... I don't know. I used to really hate politics in, like, election time.
Yeah.
I remember, like, in 2000, my dad being like, you don't want to sit and watch. This is history, what's happening in Florida, and you can sit and, like, watch it unfold. I was like, right. I don't care. Who cares? You know?
Yep.
Which I think now, if that happened, I would be, like, glued to a TV. Like, yeah. What the heck is going on?
Right.
But I think it's also... maturity, maybe, and recognizing, like, these are the things I believe in, and I want to fight for them. And now, I mean, yeah, I think we're Facebook friends, so you're going to ask me how much I post about Hillary Clinton. is that where this is going?
No, not necessarily. No,
but yeah, I'm really, there's matters that I'm really passionate about, and speaking up for that, and just accepting, like, recognizing that this is what I believe in and want to stand for something, other than just getting on, especially even just getting on stage and being just like, babies suck, huh? Like,
well, that's kind of my point, I guess, is, you know, there's, of what we do, anybody can go up and essentially tell, I suppose, in a sense, going back to what you said, like a shitty abortion joke.
Mm-hmm.
You can bitch about the president. Everybody does it. Everybody's got a beef. But if you're personally informed and you have a good stance on what you believe in, that's your take. And you then own that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's, to me, I guess that's what's important. And it's important for me to then see that versus just, fucking Obama. Well, what do you got more than that?
Yeah.
Why and how? Mm-hmm. And all right, if you can present to me, and maybe it's parenting in a sense, in my case, of just, all right, you want the new Xbox game? Why?
Yeah.
Why? Tell me why. No, you don't need it. I mean, here's why. So I win. You know, not to say that, you know, I'm dictating what can happen, but I'm just saying once you find passion in something, and maybe that comes with a certain age, and... trials of life, whatever the case may be, it's really fun in a sense for me to see people go on stage, do what we do, and then bring that part of themselves, which deals with everybody.
Yeah.
You know, politics, whatever the case may be. Everyone has a foot in it to some degree, whether you like to or not.
Yes.
And then for an individual like yourself or me or whoever it may be to then give their own personal spin, if that person, you know, part of the crowd doesn't like it, that's your fault. It's just fun to see. And it's just
disheartening sometimes.
Oh, big time. Big time. Because, there is this angle of you still want to, you want that crowd to enjoy you.
Mm-hmm.
You want them to enjoy your material, come back to see you again somewhere else, perhaps, or same place when you come back. And if that one nugget of backing this particular political figurehead, or whoever it may be, or whatever the case may be, is the disconnect, well, then you feel like shit.
Yes.
But at the same point, it's you.
Yes.
It's hard to suck up.
As I think Bill Burr says it in Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, like, everything I've said up to this point is a joke until I say something you don't like, and now suddenly I'm making statements.
Yes.
And, like, you're offended, but, like, everything else was a joke?
Yeah.
And even the early show yesterday when I was doing that, I'm still going to call it Planned Parenthood a joke, because that's where it all stemmed from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
But I have them laugh, and I go through, like, different aspects, like shutting down Planned Parenthood, like a crazy law that, like, Arizona passed, and then I talk about how I said that on stage, and someone gave me a hanger after a show, and I was they're laughing at all of these things up until then, and the last point I think is I go through all the steps like women have to go through to get an abortion, and it gets kind of dark.
Yeah.
But before I even said that on Friday, I was like, I want to remind you that you're already laughing at this subject matter.
Yeah.
So to flip on me now,
it's
going to be really weird. And then I went into it. Like, and I've tried to, like, it's still a newer joke that I'm working out, and it's trying to pull the crowd along. Sometimes I'll warn them leading up to it, and then I stopped warning people. I just started talking about it because I was like, why do I need to put any sort of warning or, like, hey, this is going to... And it started to go worse. So now I kind of drop it in, or I'll be like, it's okay, guys. And like, it's just going to be a little bit of time before. Yay. Taking a photo. Hold on.
Perfect. sorry.
Yeah. No, I had a smile for that. I'm sure it's a great picture. Like, thumbs are kind of like half up. I don't even know. Like, it was like almost.
It's like a half fond. It's like, meh.
In time, I'll find a way to tell them it's okay through jokes and be like, we can still laugh at this. We're all cool. But like right now, I have to almost blatantly be like, all right, let's relax and just keep going. Like,
mm-hmm. And I think any subject matter, or at least I've found, and probably yourself more than me, any topic can be like this dancing charade.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've got that one person in the audience that, I was doing some one-nighter with actually some folks that I've worked a lot with, and what the hell was I talking about? I'm divorced, so I think I was talking about, like, dating again.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the bits I have is dealing with online dating, and that my ex-wife and I went to high school together, and we were married, whatever, it was 10, 12 years, whatever, and it was the online dating information.
Mm-hmm.
So it was you know, Match.com, eHarmony, dealing with Tinder, things like that. And there was this lady in the crowd, and she was maybe late 40s. And, oh, God. And one of my buddy's girlfriends was in the crowd, and she turned and said, enough already. Essentially, just calm down and let the guy finish. And what are you groaning about?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I could have easily whipped out some sort of hanger abortion joke. What the hell would she have done then? So, I mean, I'm just saying, any crowd is probably going to have this prude that, oh, goodness, that's just too much. Oh, God.
Oh, no. Online dating.
Oh, why wouldn't you meet someone at church, for goodness sake? I mean, for fuck's sake. I mean, you know, you have to live in the parlance of the time, I guess, in a sense. I don't know. But, no, it's good that at least you're working that out yet. I mean, that's good.
Yeah. It's, and I feel like,
my point is, don't give up on it, because it's a great bit.
Oh, thank you. I feel like people, like, I'm not, like, trying to, like, push an envelope to push an envelope. I wasn't like, what could I write about to try and make funny? Just to, you know, what would be the most offensive thing that I can make funny? It's just like, no, these are thoughts I have. These are things I think about. Like, these aren't, let's not pretend like they don't exist. Like, I'm not trying to be a super edgy comic. These are just my opinions on what's going on in the world. Like, this is what I've read about. This is what... Or, and even to the extent this is a conversation that I don't think we're having enough as a society.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to, like, push the boundaries of stand-up. This is just kind of my life.
Right.
And I definitely get more political when, as soon as we started doing election stuff, I was like, I can't help it because that's what you're surrounded by.
I can't either. Yeah. I mean, it's almost, thank you. Exactly. Perfect point. That's what you're surrounded with.
Mm-hmm.
Say whatever you want. Okay, maybe radio is dying, but anytime you listen to a damn radio or any sort of broadcast, whether it's television, I mean, even podcasts are now politically twisted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not bad nor necessarily good either. So neither here nor there. Internet, news, a paper, a magazine, everything for an 18-month span has something political driven around it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there all the time anyway.
Yeah, you can't save it.
Yeah. And then the added topics of, I don't know, you know, interracial marriage, as you said, abortion, Mormons, whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. there's shit out there all the time that anyone can, you know, have an opinion on.
Yeah.
And sometimes a twist is to just make fun of your own take.
Yeah. I mean,
well, wouldn't this be maybe that at least raises awareness of that topic mm-hmm. without coming out and saying, "Well, you're full of shit." But some people need to be told they're full of shit, quite frankly.
Oh yeah, I'm not going to deny there aren't idiots out there.
Right,
but just because I say something on stage, like it's like trust that I've kind of worked this out, and especially like if you're trusting me. Up until a certain point when I go into a topic that you're like, I don't know if I can laugh at this. Well, what have I done before that to make you think I'm going to be ridiculously offensive now?
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere, I'm just going to just start quoting Mein Kampf? Like, what do you think? is going to happen. That's not... I'm going to turn my set into like a... What are you... It's not... And I don't know,
bravo. That's such a good point. Is that
right?
Yes, like, it's so true.
Why do you... Like, you start to go, uh-oh, like, why... I haven't given you any inclination that I'm just going to start dropping... like... The craziest, like, fuck God, like, or just, yeah.
It, you know, it's the same concept of someone having some sort of holiday get together, and then they're pitching Amway.
Yes.
It's this, yeah, like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like,
yeah, Jesus I guess Christ. It happened. Sure, it right, happens. But... Everyone thinks. Like, I was thinking last night how funny it would be to throw a Super Bowl party and then just have an intervention because it's like the best, it's the best cover.
Yes.
And I was like, that would be hilarious, but that's not, you yeah, it's weird. Yeah, you like me up to a point and then you say one thing and even I have that joke, I don't think you've seen it, I have a joke about going on a date with a guy who just in the middle just like, just casually said the N-word, and I have to dance around it. Like, I don't even, for the first few lines, I say a racial slur, and I kind of, through jokes, let you know what it was.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty clear through the jokes, but I don't even say, I say the N-word once. Mm-hmm. I don't say the word. I just say N-word. It's sure. Weird when you're trying to, mm-hmm. When you're trying to explain it, like, I don't say the full word. I don't say the full word, but right. I'd say that once. I say this isn't going to work out. I say potato. You say the N word.
It's good.
But even that, dancing around because people are like, "Uh-oh, it's gonna get racist." Really, yeah. Is it like?
Yeah.
What gives you that inclination?
All of a sudden, I'm going to just jerk the wheel into the barricade with this. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Maybe that's on the audience. I don't know, but or that particular individual. But.
I even try to. Yeah, there's a part that I wrote particularly to be like, listen, I didn't. It wasn't like me picking him. Like we were set up. Like online said we were going to be compatible, and you don't know what you're going to get.
Yes,
like, you just go out and you're like, oh, this is not at all.
Oh, this is no. You're not going to work. This.
Yeah.
This is not. No.
It's way different than someone who. Posts photos of just their head, and then you get there like, oh, you're fat. Like you misrepresented yourself. Like, that happens in other ways, too. It's not just looks.
Like,
your political views clearly can be skewed and hidden online.
Exactly.
What do you want me to, like...
Well, right. You don't know. I mean, so everything matches up to then meet this person, and then through conversation, you find out this person thinks the Holocaust was made up. Like, here's my half of the check. We'll have a great night. Just time to end this because it's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, some crowds are on board, and sometimes half the crowd is on board. And sometimes I, again, just have to stop the joke and be like, one, I didn't say it. Like, we heard, like, you remember, I wasn't the one who said it in this joke. And two, I didn't see him again. It wasn't like...
Yes.
Like, I dumped a racist in this joke. How are we not all on board?
Exactly. That's so well put.
I'm not condoning what he said. I don't like it. But to just have that dropped, especially on a date, just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, you can't deny that is like a what the hell situation.
I guess I'll give the guy credit for lobbing it out there to at least be up front. But at the same point,
that is something I would love to talk about on stage that I don't think an audience will let me go. Like, just the balls for a guy to be like, I'm going to throw this out there. It's like...
I don't think they'd back you.
Yeah.
But it would be so great to talk about that. Because for that to happen...
Balls.
It balls. Yeah.
To just drop it and be like, well, I hope you're on board with this. Like,
right.
It's like if I said I love you on a first date. Like... Is that out of nowhere? I mean, it's much worse, but it's that
I would
out
suppose
of,
so, yes.
Is that out of nowhere? Like, it's like, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what, how do you want me to react? Like, but yeah, like,
And it's such a great,
It's a guy who's not hiding himself, though. It could have been worse. He could have, like, shoved that deep down.
Right, right, until, like, you know, things are going well and 2 months later, then lobs it out. And
yeah.
Then, yeah.
Like, oh, great. This is...
Okay. Or, you know, you bring, you know, say he's a guest with, to you at a wedding or something like that, and it's, then everything goes awry. Mm-hmm. Say it's a interracial marriage, and he flips his lid.
Yeah.
Well, it's better to know that on the first date, I guess.
Yeah.
Look at what we're doing. We're writing a bit. This is great. This is,
yeah. This is where I would love the joke to go. This is everything.
Right.
But I don't always feel like I have everyone on board. And I like the way it is right now. But I do need to dig deeper into it, but it's just...
It's hard to know whether or not it's going to... If they're going to have your back, I guess is the hardest thing. But yeah. Chicago. Chicago was good. Yes, mm-hmm. Lovely.
I love it. I do.
Yeah, I guess that was kind of where I was going. I mean, you've been there 8 years from
this
Arizona.
This is where we started. This was a real long tangent.
See what I did? I brought
it
back.
Good. Yeah.
No, but it's so I love the city. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Within the city, you're able to stay busy, which is cool. That's good. And certain individuals you enjoy working with in Chicago.
In Chicago, Kevin Bozeman, I love. Mm-hmm. Pat McGann, Jim Flanagan's another comic I just absolutely love. Sam Norton's my best friend. Like,
that's cool. Okay.
I wanted him to come up and feature for me. It just didn't work out. Sean White is another just great friend. Hilarious guy. So he's featuring this weekend.
That's right.
Who else is in Chicago? Dwayne Kennedy's amazing. Yeah, there's so many great comics.
Having to use the term notice is horse shit, but it's Chicago is just so it's such a great dynamic of comedy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Of the individuals that then I've ran into, I've listened to, I've seen. It's just I don't know, it's just great. It's just a great pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And living where I live, it's somewhat quite fortunate to be as close as I am. You know, you can get there in a day.
Yeah.
And it's not like you have to fly across the country.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, I don't know, I guess that's my thought of just, it's damn cool.
It's great. And then, and what one of the benefits of Chicago, because I've thought about, there's a bunch of Minneapolis comics that I love. I work with Brian Miller all the time and
mm-hmm.
Tommy Ryman. Eric Allen lives in LA now, but he's a Minneapolis comic. Andy Erickson,
Yeah.
I have so many good friends in Minneapolis that I've even thought about moving to Minneapolis.
Sure.
But Chicago, there's so much work and so many clubs and so much comedy in 5 hours in every direction, where Minneapolis, there's nothing. There's not a whole lot west.
Right.
And everything takes a lot longer to get to anywhere east. But that's why, the scene is great. There's so much going on. There's so much stage time. And then just... If you want to just expand your radius just outside of that, there's just so much great comedy available to you.
And it's not that far away is the biggest key. Leibovitz has told me that. A real brief conversation with Natalie Joes, and she said the same
thing. One of my favorite people.
Yeah, hey, she's fantastic.
Natalie and I and our friend Michelle run a pro-Hillary vlog.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Hi.
I wanted to talk to Natalie through the podcast here, and it just... She was in town with Kilgallen, mm-hmm. and it didn't work out. I stopped into the show Friday night just to see the late show.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday I had a one-nighter thing, and they were just doing Friday, Saturday, so I never had a chance to, see mm-hmm. if her... Actually, I was talking to her and Joe the Friday night. We were trying to work something out. My son had a football game, and sorry to yammer on about this, but it just didn't work out, and I was just so...
How was the weather that day?
It was sunny. It was a nice sunny October day. Okay. September day, I believe. The Wildcats lost that day.
Unfortunately.
She and I were having a conversation about how it just, the landscape of Chicago, to where even if you say you want to go to Cincinnati, Dayton, Cleveland, Indy, it's doable. Detroit, mm-hmm. it's doable. Mike Stanley said the same thing. It was Christ, Chicago, it's great. I mean, you can get
Louisville, Lexington, St. Louis,
exactly.
Appleton, Madison, Minneapolis. I mean,
So, I mean, there's, I guess there's that attraction, I guess is my point, just to where it's a hell of a hub, but at the same time of just what's already in your backyard,
mm-hmm.
within the city and the surrounding area, it's awesome. It's a pretty cool slam dunk.
It's great.
Yeah.
I love the town. Again, I've almost thought about moving to Minneapolis. I almost moved to New York like 3 times last year.
That's what you're saying, yeah.
I chickened out every time, but I've been, looking back on it, I feel like I've grown so much as a comic this year. I'm so happy I didn't move.
Sure.
Like,
that's good.
Yeah, turning, like, I've written so much new material, and I'm just like, oh, in hindsight, like, actually, thank God, because I think if I would have moved it, this stuff wouldn't have come out of me the way it's come out of me, and
yeah.
I really like it right now.
That's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, to at least be retrospective on it of, like, oh, this was probably a good thing it didn't happen, because going back, you're adding more stress. You have to then completely, it's a completely different landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see that. That's well, good for you, though.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I think, I mean, this is just a hypothesis. I don't know. I haven't moved, but you'd spend some time telling jokes you know work, trying to prove yourself.
Yeah.
And especially, like, last year, I was so sick of that material and hated it so much to spend more months telling it. Like,
yeah.
I kind of, like, I'm so happy. I'm so happy the way things have turned out. And I recorded a CD last April that I don't think I'll release, so that kind of like put like a stamp on some of the jokes that I was already tired of.
Oh, sure.
And then I dumped some of them on a laugh set, like okay. for season 2 of Laughs.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so like it's kind of like, well, get it out there in a way, but kind of retire it. And it's just yeah. been, I still have to do some of them, especially in the headlining set, but like a feature set is. Yeah, I've almost turned it completely over, and I'm just so happy. Right?
That's pretty yeah. cool. That's good.
It's been
and I think that's I can't remember who I've had this discussion with. It's probably several people, but it is kind of liberating to then bury some of the material
mm-hmm.
because it's like, well, I'm done with that.
Yeah,
and that lasted a while, and you realize perhaps your progression, perhaps you've gotten better, perhaps you're feeling more confident in your writing and your presentation of being on stage.
Yeah.
Again, all hypothesis on what I'm saying, but I'm thinking there's definitely a key
mm-hmm.
and a link between that to where there's stuff I've buried that I started with, but there's stuff that I started with that I still hang on to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
and some of it's, a lot of it's like, you know, personal experience stuff that people can relate to. But added in the stuff that goes away that I'm not going to do that anymore. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. It feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's
and it's always there. I mean, I guess, you know, if you got to dip into the closet at some point during a set, I guess you can go back to it. But
yeah. Sean White and I were talking last night about he does have a CD that I was telling you about.
Yeah.
Losing his family and going through a divorce. And it's a great CD. But I was like, why aren't you doing that material? And he's like, well, I'm trying to work on this new stuff. And he's like, it's not there yet. And I kind of went through the same thing in September. I kind of was like, stopped telling some jokes. I was like, well, I'm just going to suck for a while and work on these jokes.
Isn't that the truth?
And that's, make these jokes work.
It's so true. It's so true.
And so that's kind of where he is right now in his own set. So I'm like, I get it. But it's, and like, sometimes it's hard when you get off stage and it doesn't go the way you want. And you're like, but you don't understand. Like, I left a good set on the table.
Yeah.
And I just, this is what I had to do just to be happy
right.
tonight in this moment. And I've had a lot of conversations with, like, well, that's the job, is you have to go out there and, like, sometimes you have to tell jokes you don't want to do. But, I mean, even, oh, man, it's a, being a stand-up is a great job, and for this to be a complaint, I know it's terrible, but sometimes, like, that can, like, crush your soul. Like, sitting
oh,
there,
my
like,
God, yes.
when you're like, I don't want to tell this joke, and, like, you can feel your eyes rolling,
mm-hmm.
and there's just no passion, and I think it kind of, like, disengaged from the audience. Like, I think things do get a little worse when you're up there not talking about stuff you care about or stuff that like, yeah. you're tired of telling, which is like you asked me about politics earlier. It's like I've come to the point where I work on jokes for so long, and jokes are getting longer. Where like you're getting chunks of material, like I'm getting 4 minutes out of one topic.
Yeah,
that if I'm working on it that long, I have to care about it.
Like, right.
If I spend 3 or 4 months or 5 months working on one bit, like
right.
to keep going back, like, you have to care about it. There's
yeah.
there's no, to go back and tell a joke about cats. It's just like.
Well, right, when you've put in X amount of time, effort, and tweaking to this one particular bit, like I said, if it's 3-4 months, there's no reason to unhook the plow of that. Just you got to keep carrying it. Mm-hmm. You just, you know it's going to get better.
Yeah. Well, you hope.
I guess you hope. I guess that's a good point because, yeah, you would hope.
I lugged around a joke about evolution for a real long time, and it still sits in the back of my mind. I'm like, there's things that I love about this joke, and I can never get it to work the way I want, and every once in a while I'll bring it out, and it'll just kind of, like, eat shit. And I'm like, God, like, why doesn't this work? But I've been lugging that around for almost a year, and... Like, at some point, I was like, I just got to stop telling it, and I have to, like, let it leave my mind completely, and I'll go back to it maybe in another year, and then be like, oh, this is all, like, I can fix this now.
Right.
But for whatever it is, I can't see it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting how that happens. And it's, sometimes it's hard to say goodbye to that, but mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's in the best interest of yourself to just, shit, God, this had potential. Yes. You know, it was like that second round draft pick. Like, it wasn't top end stuff, but mm-hmm. God damn it, I will come back to that at some other point.
that was the other thing Sean and I were talking about last night. Is like when I die, like I hope someone like can go through my journals and read all the jokes that I've kept working on and couldn't get to work, and like just someone put it out there and be like, see, this was funny, she just couldn't, like,
yes.
I tried so hard on some of these things.
See, she was a genius, look at all this buried material.
but also don't look at the stupid jokes I've written in that journal that are terrible. Like, don't look at, there's a lot of bad ones in there too, but if you could find the ones that I kept clearly going back to, that were mediocrely funny, and just see the genius in the genius in the effort, I guess, that I put into it. I don't want to say, because clearly it's not funny. I'm not telling him, but the idea that I could never properly structure. If someone could be like, "Yeah, that's funny," I'm like, "Okay, good, we're good."
Someone to look at it years later. She was ahead of her time. Look at what this was. That would be good.
Yeah.
Do you sort of force write? Do you sort of like set aside time of like, this is what I'm gonna do, and you just.
Yeah, I do.
That's cool.
I try to get 2 hours in a day. I should do more.
That's great.
Yeah, and right now, like, two of my friends were doing, like, Kevin Bozeman and Adam Burke, two funny comics. We're doing. Yeah. You have to write 10 hours a week, and you kind of have to, like, we hold ourselves accountable, and
okay.
If you don't make your 10 hours, you have to throw in money for dinner for the other people.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which we did it earlier in the fall, and then I realized I wasn't even really leaving my house or riding a whole lot because it's winter and I get so depressed. And mm-hmm. I was like, can we do this again so at least I leave the house? Like,
good point.
So we started doing it again, and I'm not going to make my time this week, I don't think. It'll be the first time I've missed. It's our first week doing it again, and it's going to be the first time I've missed it. Like, they owe me so much food.
Oh, but well, like, there, see.
Yeah, I made it every time last time we did it, and now. But, yeah, I do. I try to work on something almost every day. But I've also gotten to the point where sometimes, like, I'm like, I just have to take this. I'm like, I'll be writing. I'm like, I just have to take this on stage and talk about it.
Yes.
And kind of filter through my own ideas mm-hmm. and find little points. And then once I start to kind of get a base as, like, up to what's funny, then going back from just talking on stage, then going back into a journal and really trying to tag it and, like, go deeper into whatever that was.
Yeah.
That's where I really write, I feel like.
That's really cool. Yeah. That's good. For me, it was always, I'm using past tense, but it was always Sundays. For me, I would just, set aside most of the day on a Sunday and just sort of plow through ideas mm-hmm. and thoughts I'd either written down, quick typed into my phone, whatever the case may mm-hmm. be. I'm a really big fan of the NFL.
Yeah.
So the fall here hasn't been the best.
Yeah, there you go. That'll ruin some
things. I mean, I'm gonna call myself out. I enjoy watching football, and mm-hmm. I love hanging out with my friends, and we all enjoy doing that together. So the Sundays from September until about January, hopefully February, if your team is doing well, mm-hmm. your favorite team is doing well, which that's unfortunate too because it's extra weeks. But they kind of got thinned out. So what I've tried to do is throughout the course of like a day, specifically evenings, is just try to then look at what I've jotted through over the course of that day or the day prior, and then just more or less try to set it up a little more clear for then when I do actually sit down then on a Sunday or if it's a Tuesday night or whatever the case may be. But yeah, I guess that's what I've been trying to do that a little more. I'm trying to hold myself more accountable for that, yeah. I guess is what I'm getting at. So I don't know.
I've always been, I mean, I say 2 hours a day is, I should do way more, but I've been pretty disciplined in like, if this is your job, treat it like your job.
Yeah.
If you want it to continue your job, like you have to, like,
yeah.
Can't call in sick every day.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
I definitely get on those, like, it's like, I've been so seasonally depressed. Just most of January is just doing nothing. But then I also feel, I think what feeds into it, I feel terrible when I don't do it. I feel like,
right.
How hard was it just to go sit at a coffee shop for minimum 2 hours? It's not difficult at all. And I'm like, I didn't go do that? Like, what's wrong with me?
That's true.
You know, like,
I didn't engage in the public at all.
Yeah.
In a sense, because that's exactly what would happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just... Yeah, so I feel very guilty if I'm not working at this as a job, if I don't treat it as that. And but yeah, that's just me. And like, there's so much I write in that time that is worthless and nothing. And
yeah.
You just kind of have to be okay with it. And that's when it gets tough, is when those days get a lot in a row where you come up with nothing.
Yeah.
And you're like, why am I even doing this? I don't have anything funny. I'm a terrible comic. I'm never going to write anything funny again.
Oh, those days are just the best.
Mm-hmm.
Even weeks where it's like, oh, this is a week's worth of dog shit. This is just awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that. And then there'll be a week where I've even tried two or three of the bits and fucking just forget it. Just, this is done. You know, it was a pizza bit. You know, okay, you know, it's a pizza joke. But it was my kids and I eating pizza and it just wouldn't hold, and but I felt so excited. I remember feeling so excited about that, and then, nah, this is just trash. It's just, forget it. So
I wrote...
Move on.
when I first wrote this abortion joke, I wrote it, and I was like, I don't think I can ever tell this on stage. And I told it to my friend Sam and my friend Kevin, and they were like, you can tell that on stage. I'm like, I think I will get run off the stage, like... I'm terrified what's going to happen. Yeah. And like I said, clearly it does ruffle feathers. Someone gave me a hanger.
Which I still can't fucking believe. But
it's the worst. And like what I love, just to go into like, sorry, tangent, but
yeah, no,
what I
ahead.
Love is like saying that I said I took a stance against this, and I'm taking kind of a, like, I'm pro-choice and I kind of take a stance. I'm like, I support Planned Parenthood. And then I... Jokes. And then when I say, I said this all on stage and some guy gave me a hanger. Like, I actually love the audible gasps that happen. Like, this is the first week that I've told the hanger story at a club.
Okay.
Okay. Someone handed that to me. So I've done it at two shows now. But the audible gasps, and like, I'm just like, oh, I freaking love that. Because
right.
At least you know it's offensive. Like, there's this guy out there who did... I think he thinks it was a joke. Like, he thought it would be hilarious. And, like,
yeah.
To not recognize how offensive that is, it's
correct.
Just like,
yeah. Yeah.
And.
But then, yeah, for that gasp, for the audience, in a sense, to almost, in a way, feel your pain.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
Like, it feels good.
Yeah.
And then you have to. You have to try to get across to these folks that, no, folks, this really happened.
Yeah.
There's that. That level of douchebaggery is out there.
It's out there. It exists.
It's
terrible. God. Like, I'm like, and I feel like in some ways I could use that to be like, hey, like, so no matter how you feel, just don't be that dick. Like,
yeah,
don't
so
go
true.
That far.
So true.
Like, I get we probably disagree on this, but don't be that guy. Like,
right.
That's, yeah.
God.
I totally forgot what I was talking about before I went on this.
Oh, no, no, that's right. No.
Something about, I have no idea what we're talking about. I have no
idea. I guess
we've now reiterated that hanger story 4 times on this podcast.
That's okay. It's a good story. No, it was just
the weather when
just,
he did it was phenomenal, though.
That was good. That's a keeper.
So, Something about writing. I don't remember.
I guess holding yourself accountable and so
that's
forth.
That's the whole point.
So what else is in store for Emily 2016?
I have no idea. I wish I knew.
That's cool.
I've got, we were talking, I think before you hit record, I've got some time off coming up that I'm just going to really enjoy. And
which is good.
Yeah. So hopefully just live life and write more material from that. And,
sure.
Like May and June, hopefully there's like pick up and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
Where can everybody find you? Plug your locations, your Twitters, the Facebooks, the...
Follow me on Twitter. It's just at Emily Galati, G-A-L-A-T-I. My website's Emily Galati. And if you just, I want to get rid of my face. I want to get rid of Facebook, so I just started a Facebook fan page.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'm like, this is the only thing I'll have, so I don't have to interact with other people on Facebook.
Cool.
I don't have to see your opinions. So if you like my Facebook page, that'd be great. I've written nothing on it. There's just a photo of me. I haven't tried to update it.
It's a start.
Or I guess you could friend me on Facebook so I can... Someone told me, if you hit 5,000 friends, you can just turn your page into a fan page.
Shane Moss did that. I was talking to him. So there's a way to do that.
Yeah.
I don't have 5,000... friends on Facebook.
From what I read, you have to hit the limit. So I guess, friend me on Facebook. Like my fan page or friend me on Facebook and help me get the limit so I can then trick you into turning this into a fan page.
I think it was Shane. Anyway, I'm sorry to zone out there, but somebody had said, no, it's like you kind of win the Facebook lottery. It's like, no, you just got a fan page.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know how that works because
I just feel like my life would be so much better without Facebook.
There are times. Yeah, there are times. It is neat. The term neat. It is interesting to read other people's bullshit sometimes. But you have to then just walk away and just...
I'm terrible at disengaging. That's the thing. I know we're trying to wrap this up, but you mentioned Natalie Joes. We run that Hillary blog with her friend Michelle. Yeah. And we've been, adamant about,
Oh, and my sister loves it, by the way. I turned her on when I said...
Oh, yeah?
These are some ladies. I said, hey, you got to give us... She's a huge Hillary supporter. And,
oh, good.
I said, give us a look. And I get text from her. She said, oh, my God, is this beautiful.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me feel so good.
Yeah, she said, this is absolutely perfect. I said, yeah, I told you.
We get together once a week and make a bunch of memes. And sometimes, we post them and we're like, nothing's happening. What are we doing? But it's also just a good way for the three of us to get together and just kind of flush out our rage. Just for, because if you, apparently, as Natalie says, the most punk rock thing she's ever done is support Hillary Clinton.
I saw that.
And she's like, I don't know how.
Right.
But that's, and just the, I've said if you want to test your inner strength as a person, type I like Hillary into any social media platform every day for a week, and just the onslaught of bullshit you get, it's insane how much people dislike her, or and then on top of that dislike you or want to tell you you're wrong for your own thoughts and beliefs and reasonings, and it's
while we're all in this country that is supposed to support freedom of speech, you're entitled to your opinion.
Yeah.
It's just, it's an awkward scenario, specifically in the day and age, and not to keep rambling about, internet and social media, but anyone now can be a menace with a keyboard.
Yeah.
Or their thumbs with, a pad of their phone. And everyone can express their opinions and call each other various different names and tell each other that they're wrong.
Yeah.
Whereas just go back 20 years ago, you couldn't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have to have FaceTime on TV, or you'd have to have an opinion column in a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
That's just 20 years ago. So what the hell happens 20 years from now?
Yeah.
I don't know. I hate to think about it. My kids are screwed.
I have no idea. I've started to have mental breakdowns anytime I post anything about Hillary because I'm terrible at disengaging. And this week, Natalie was post it and then just don't go back to it. I'm like, I can't. People are saying things. I can't disengage. And then I get into this spiral of I hate everyone. I just curled up on Natalie's couch, just I don't know what to do anymore. I can't not do this. But then And what's kind of like fuel me is like you want to stop when you get that reaction and you realize kind of like what it does to you mentally. You're like, I need to not say anything anymore. But it's like if I stop talking about Hillary just because of how you're reacting, I'm like, then you win.
Exactly.
So I can't.
You're not going to win. Right. No.
To the point where now, like, this is what I believe. I'm going to keep throwing it out there because, like, just don't try and silence. Like, I can't not talk about it now based on, like, all the shit I've taken for. I mean, I took so much shit the day she announced she was going to run. I was like, yes, fucking yes, Hillary.
Right.
And just the shit I took that day and everything I've taken since, it's like, I'm not.
I like the joke you did Thursday night about, well, you know, it's only 4 years. It's kind of like college. Like, oh, I did a black guy for a while. And I did girls for like 4 years, like college. No, just see what happens. It's fucking brilliant.
So I'm going to vote for a woman because everyone experiments in electoral college. Right.
Yes, that was it. Yeah. Yes. Oh, it's glorious.
How do you know you like men unless you try chicks out for a while? You don't. It's so 4 perfect. Years. Yeah, it's just like college. If you don't like it, go back to dudes and be like, I was just finding myself. No one's going to judge you if you find out. You're like, I really like chicks. It's like, cool. All right. I'm cool. Okay. I don't care. Whatever.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I had a blast.
Yeah, this was really good.
Yeah. We'll push this out and have a cut. I hope the rest of the year goes well for you. Hope you enjoy the time off.
Thank you. Good.
Thanks again.
Thanks.
Hey there, this is Moidel Harrison. You're listening to You Don't Say. Also, check out my book, Just Because I'm Ugly Don't Mean I Don't Get Horny.
Hey, Ma, what's with the wash machine?
Listen, I told you. I've been watching my stories on it.